seasons of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. All he asked was that they obey him. And because of that, man is cursed. And God has from the very beginning give man the opportunity to live blessed or cursed. Blessed or cursed. And he gave that decision totally up to us. What a huge decision it is for a person to choose blessed or cursed. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Because there is a verse, and I'll get there in just a few minutes, there's a verse in Revelation where he says, and there shall be no more curse. And there shall be no more curse. We'll look forward to that in this message. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to get into your scripture and seeing what you want for us and what you have for us, what you have offered and what you are offering and what you will offer. And God, you gave us the option, the choice. Lord, I just pray that we'll listen to your precious word today. And we praise you, God, for everything you're going to do. I pray that you'll be with John and Becky as they visit with their daughter, Jan. I pray, God, that you'll be with Larry. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with all those who are in the hospitals. Lord, that you'll give them the doctor's wisdom to touch them for Kevin and Natasha. God, I pray that you'll be with them. Our church family, Lord, they're part of it. And we want to know that wherever they are, they're trusting you to do what's necessary in their lives. And we'll praise you and trust you for whatever you're going to do here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've had young people come to me after they have gotten saved and want to know where maybe they should start reading the Bible, because we know it's a large book. There's a lot of scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And so they'll ask me, where should I start reading the Bible? I would say the Gospels first. And then I remembered that my dad used to be asked the same question years ago, and he would tell them to read the Gospel of John specifically. And rightly so, of all the four Gospels, the Gospel of John, I would suggest that you read it first. But read all the Gospels. Become aware of what's in the Gospels and see the harmony that's in the Gospels. But I would also say, in conjunction to that, go back and read the third chapter of the book of Genesis, because you need a good understanding of what sin has done and what sin is doing and what sin will do. And to have a good understanding of Genesis chapter 3 will give you that. The awfulness, and that's probably not a word that would say it well enough, but I'm going to say the awfulness of sin must always be on our minds. We've got to know what it's going to do, what it's going to destroy, what it will do to you now, and what it will do to your future. Sin is worse than any virus, and I know there's a lot of turmoil and a lot of talk about the coronavirus. coronavirus that's going right now, and looks like it's, even though they say it's diminishing, I hear in other countries it's even taking hold and getting more. We don't know where that'll end. But we talk more about that than the virus of sin, the spiritual virus that is infecting everybody and is damning and dooming souls to a devil's hell. We need to think about that, because the awfulness of sin is terrible, folks. Sin is the reason we have John 3:16, and I know we look at John 3:16 as the wonderful verse of Scripture that gives us hope that we can leave here one day and go to heaven, and it is wonderful. But had it not been for sin, Jesus would not have had to come and die. We've got to know our sin put him on the cross. Our sin caused him to shed his blood so that we could live. And I'm so glad that he did. But sin was the thing that put him there. Without the truth, we perish, folks. And John 3:16 gives us the truth, that he loved us so much that he would give his only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross so that we wouldn't have to die, we wouldn't have to perish, but that we could have everlasting life. When God created the Garden of Eden in the scripture that we just read, the Bible says it was good. Now, this was all of the creation from the very beginning until he created the garden. Everything he did was good. He says so. He said, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. And when he created the light, he looked up and he said, it's good. Everything's good. When he created the atmosphere, he said, it's good. When he created the vegetation, he said, it's good. When he created the animals, he said, it's good. And after 6 days of creation, he came to man. Bible says in Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, here's a word thrown in here that's not normally there when you read these. When he says he created the whole thing, he says, and it was very good. Now, very good for God is better than the way we use very, more than likely. But it was very good. There were no imperfections in what he created. Everything was perfect. Now, there are some OCD people in this world that wants everything perfect. Do you know one?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that, except they're fighting a losing battle. It's not going to be. Just when you think you got it perfect, it's imperfect again. So there is no such thing. But when God created everything, he said it's very good. In other words, it's perfect. Don't you hate to mess up something perfect? I try to make up my bed of a morning somewhat, but I can never make it look like it did when Kay made it up. It's almost as though no one had ever been in that room when she made the bed up. You walked in and everything was perfect. The little pillows were where they needed to be. The big pillows were where they needed to be. The length of the left and right side was perfect. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I see some of you smiling. Yeah. Perfect. But then I mess it up, and I can't get it back that way. But I do the best I can. You'll never see it anyway, so it doesn't make any difference, right? God has made it, and when I walked in this morning and saw the board up here, I told Judy, I said, that's absolutely perfect. I never tell her what I need on there. I just give her the scripture and the message and everything, and she does it. And when I walked in and saw blessed or cursed, and the error going either way. I thought how perfect that is, because God has made it so that we can live either blessed or cursed. And that was from the very beginning. Adam and Eve had the same thing. Let me take you to Deuteronomy. Can you turn there with me just for a minute? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. He said to them in Deuteronomy, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." So he didn't just throw the blessing in and say that the blessing's there for everybody. That wasn't what he did. We get the idea that God's just throwing blessings our way and we have to do absolutely nothing. Is he free with his blessings? He is. But what did he say? He said a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Now the commandments are not the ten. The commandments are the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Just so we know that the commandments here is the word of God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. So that's pretty simple. He's not naming things we should and shouldn't do, is he? No, I don't want to live with a list of do's and don'ts, do you? Because that puts man under the law, and we don't live under the law. We are under grace. But he says, but a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. We've seen that in the book of Hosea on Wednesday nights, where they were following other gods. They were going after their own gods. All he wants us to do to have the life of blessing is to live according to the word of God. Do you ever wonder why we invite folks to church? It's not so that we can fill the pews, even though I would love to fill the pews. It is so that they can know the blessing, so that they can hear the word of God and obey the word of God and have a life of blessing, to obey the word of God in salvation, to repent of their sin of unbelief and accept him as the Savior of their life, and then to go on believing what the word of God says from Genesis to Revelation. Sin is our enemy. If you got to recognize the enemy. You must recognize the enemy. And sin is our enemy. It is the transgression of the law of God. And when we transgress, when we go against, when we disobey the law of God, then we're living the cursed life instead of the blessed life. Now, for the scripture that I read this morning, I want to take you into it and see that sin has brought the curse. Sin has brought the curse. Man's soul, from the time he sinned in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, our foreparents, those that God started this whole thing with, when they sinned, when they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, they caused the soul of man to become a battleground. Don't miss that word. I didn't choose that word for no reason. A battleground. Everywhere there was a battleground in our country or in other countries, it is marked. Have you ever noticed them doing that? It is. I saw on the paper this morning, I sent Tom and Dave, my brothers, a picture of the raising of the flag on Iwo Jima. And some of you know that particular time. It was 75 years ago that flag was raised on Iwo Jima. And my dad would talk about that. He was just down the hill from, he could look up the hill and see where they were raising the flag on Iwo Jima. Well, now they have a marker there to mark that battle that was there on Iwo Jima. In the European conflict, they have They have markers everywhere doing that. If you go north in the United States of America up to Pennsylvania and Maryland, there are places up there where they have battlegrounds. In South Carolina, in Tennessee, everywhere there was a battleground. In fact, there's one marked already in the Rocky Fork, New Rocky Fork State Park on the other side of Irwin. When you go over there to hike, you'll hike up to the left when you get up there where it forks, and there's a battleground there. There's always been a battleground, and battlegrounds tend to be marked because battlegrounds will change your life. Battlegrounds change the lives of many people. Some folks never go back from the battleground, and that changes the lives of all those people that were looking for them to come back. And for those that go back, their lives are changed because of what they saw on the battleground. And folks, our lives are being changed every day because our souls are the battleground because of sin. We ought to absolutely hate sin. Because sin has caused us to have that battleground where our body and our spirit has to have a war all the time. For the woman, because of this curse, the Bible says that he caused her to have pain in childbirth. That should make every woman hate sin. That her conception and delivery of a child is not what it would have been when God created. But because of sin, the woman has to have that pain in childbirth. For the man, he says he cursed the ground. He cursed the ground so that he would have thorns and thistles and have the sweat. I have to fight stuff every year in my garden, the weeds and everything that comes up. Well, you know, if Adam and Eve, I used to say Dad burned them, I wouldn't have had to fight all those weeds in my garden if they had done the right thing, right? But because of that, he had to curse this old earth. And because of man, he says, there'll be thorns and there'll be thistles, and you'll, by the sweat of your brow, you'll have to go out and work that ground. That ground you came from, that dirt that you were made from, the dust of that ground you were made from, now you're going to have to dig and till in it and feed yourself. I had it so that I would feed you. All you had to do was go out and pick it. That's what they did in the Garden of Eden. There wasn't anything they had to do except to tend the beautiful flowers and stuff. There was no sweating of the brow then. But because of sin, that happened. Because of sin, there is death and decay. There wouldn't have been any death and decay had they not sinned. The curse wouldn't have been there. The curse is there is death and decay. He plainly says that because if you eat of that, you're going to die. And when you die, according to the song that we sing 4 days late, on the fourth day, the body begins to decay. And we know that everything that dies decays. Well, I don't like decay, do you? I don't. I wish it were so we never had decay. I wish it were so we never had death. But because of sin and the curse that's been put on mankind, there is death and decay. There is body pain. For some of us more than others. We wouldn't have had to deal with these pains that we have going to the doctors. There would have been no need for doctors had this curse not been put on this earth. There would have been no need for you to go have surgery and have rods and screws and stuff to put you back together. There would have been no need for that. There would have been no need for the hospitals that we have around here where you go in and there's no room for a bed for you to put your loved one in because they're so full right now. There would have been no need for that. There would have been no need for you to try to choose the best doctor you could so that you could get the best care and live a little longer. Sin caused terrible problems, folks. It caused a curse on us that we wouldn't have had. There wouldn't have been no need for us to go over to the funeral home and visit our loved ones. There wouldn't have been any need for caskets at the front of a church or at the front of a funeral home for folks to walk by and see their loved one has gone and talk about going to heaven, there would have been no need for that. But because of that curse of sin, there is. And I've seen too many broken hearts at a funeral to want any more of that. And it should cause us to hate sin. Hate sin because of the broken hearts that there is during a funeral service. It separates us. It separates us in death from our loved ones. It separates in relationships. It does. Sin separates in relationships. It separates us from our fellowship with our God in heaven. Sin is terrible. We need to hate it because it caused the curse. The curse not only would show in those people and their loved ones, it'll show up in your children, folks. It does. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Go back to Adam and Eve when they had their children. We saw immediately the sin curse was on Cain and Abel. It caused murder in the family. Not just a murder, but a murder in the family. You say, you mean sin was continuing to go? Yeah, that's exactly what caused it. Sin caused it. And it was the disobedience because of what Cain and Abel lived for. One wanted to do the will of God, one did not. And because of jealousy, because God was blessing the one who did and then cursing the one who didn't, then he killed him out of jealousy. Sin is terrible. Sin will cause us to do things that we normally would not do. We've been cursed by sin, folks. Sin is a curse, and this old earth is cursed. You ready? Don't you want to think about where there is no more curse rather than where the curse is? Don't want you to forget what we're having to do here because of the curse. I want you to remember that very well, because if you don't remember that, you won't really appreciate what he's got prepared for us. You know, it was immediately after the Garden of Eden that he began to prepare a way for us to get out of here and go to heaven immediately. And it was by a blood sacrifice. Had to be by the blood. If you're saved today, you got to know it's by the blood. It is. Your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, who had to die for us because of the curse that was brought on mankind. He took it and put it on him. He chose the death. He chose the results of the curse, and that was death. God would deal with the sin issue and condemn the serpent that beguiled Eve. He did that all in swoop. He did. He would deal with it. We know how he dealt with it. Paradise one day would be restored, and God's people will be eternally satisfied. I don't know of anybody that's totally satisfied down here on this earth. Do you? I try to read of ones, and I could give you real reasons. We always think that if we just have enough, if we just have enough of the material wealth of this old world, then we could live really good, we could do the things we want, and we would be totally satisfied down here. I am watching on the news every day where billionaires are totally not satisfied. Billionaires. Remember last Sunday when I told you how long it would take you to spend $1 billion? And we're talking about people who have billions and billions and billions. And folks, there's no satisfaction there. I don't ever hear a word of satisfaction, total satisfaction in their life. In fact, I don't hear a word of eternal life in heaven from them, to be honest with you. Well, that shows me that there is an ignorance about where we're going to be satisfied. But God began to deal with sin. He had to deal with the sin issue. Because of the sin issue, we are not satisfied. And never will be. But he began to do it. So he began to restore what he had in Genesis chapter 3. He began to restore that. And one day we're going to see exactly and have exactly what he wanted for them in the Garden of Eden. He was going to restore so that we could be totally satisfied in heaven with him. In the new earth, the curse of sin will be reversed. There will be no curse of sin because there will be no sin. What a place that's going to be. What a wonderful place that we have. And we have that option. We can live blessed here and go on into glory, or we can live cursed here and go to hell. What a decision that he's given us to make. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to make that decision, does it? But it takes more than a rocket scientist to make the decision that you're going to accept him as the Savior of your life and let him rule and control your life. That's what this is all about. So he says, I'm tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to reverse that. That's not going to happen in heaven. Man will again be able to see. I have tried to visualize. I know that artists have also tried to paint what the Garden of Eden must have looked like. I don't believe man can do that. I don't believe that he could put on canvas what God created in the Garden of Eden and how Adam and Eve weren't just mesmerized by it and never would have given Satan a chance to come in. I don't know. I just know it happened, and I know we've been cursed because of it. But God is going to fix it where that you and I can step in and see in paradise. We can step in and see exactly what he had created for them in the Garden of Eden. And then the good thing about that is we won't have to worry about the sin creating a curse for us there, because there'll be no curse there. There'll be no sin. You may be saved from the penalty of sin. One of these days, you're going to be saved from the very presence of sin, because there'll be no sin in glory. Amen? How good is that? How wonderful is that? Let me just take you to Revelation just for a minute, okay? In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, he says this. This is what's going to happen when we get to our place where he has reversed everything, and we're now going to be in the Garden of Eden. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, when Henry was singing that song a few minutes ago, I couldn't see you all. We know the problem with tears, don't we? We know what creates tears in our lives. We do. But he says, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more. It won't be there. You won't even have to give death a thought. There won't be the possibility. Death will be gone, wiped out. Eternally, there'll be no more death. Neither sorrow. A lot of things down here cause sorrow. I have to deal with people all the time who are going through situations in their life where they say, I really had a bad day, or I really had a bad night. I know where you're coming from. When you say that, I know where you're coming from. The sorrow that just grips our hearts sometimes and just tears our hearts out. He says, there'll be no more of that. When you get to glory, there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are all passed away. It won't be there anymore. He's going to not only not have a curse, there'll be no inkling of a curse. There'll just be total blessing, total satisfaction, because he's taken care of this situation. Look at Revelation 22 and verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. No more. But the throne of God of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. They shall see his face. I don't know how it's going to be to see the face of our loved ones when we get there. And right now, I'm more concerned about seeing the face of Jesus. I want to see his face. And he tells me I will. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Aren't you going to be glad you're going to be that closely connected to him? And there shall be no night there. Won't need a flashlight. Find your way around. Won't need any light. There'll be no need. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The curse is gone. They died in the Garden of Eden. Even though they were put out, they were spiritually dead in the Garden of Eden. They died that day. And if you're lost today, you can come from death to life. You can know what it's like to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and God as your Heavenly Father. Without forgiveness of sin and accepting Christ as your Savior, you are as dead as you can be, and the curse, the condemnation is on you, and you will go to hell. You will not go to heaven. It's the truth. And he said unto me, These sayings are fruitful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent an angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Folks, it's beginning to happen. He's going to open up for us that perfect, beautiful place in glory that we have lived our whole life down here, and our whole life down here is like that. No matter how old you live to be, it's just like that, because we're stepping from here to into eternity where it will never end. You will never stop loving again. Amen? You will never stop loving again. You will never want for anything again. You will be totally satisfied forever and ever. We're going to go from curse to no curse, because we're stepping in to the land of blessing. We're stepping in where we'll never want to step out again. Ever. We'll never move our residence anymore. Amen? Folks, if there's anybody in here this morning that is living under the curse of disobedience, take care of that situation right now. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your disobedience. If it's the disobedience and not believing in him as the Savior, take care of that today. All you have to do is say, God, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I know you gave your son so that I could live forever. I want that. Would you please forgive me for not believing in him? And I want to believe in him today, and I want you to forgive me so that I can be saved. And if you're living in this old world today, and you're claiming your salvation, but you're not believing everything that God says in the Word, get there, because that's where your blessings are. That's where your blessings are. Every day of your life, they'll be in how you believe this Word, because what a man believes will determine what he does. Let us pray. There won't won't be any curse to spoil this new creation. And I come to the conclusion I wasn't made for this world. I wasn't created for this sin-cursed world that I live in. I was made for another world. And that's my home. That's my home. My long home. My eternal home. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for making it so that we can leave a sin-cursed world and go into glory where there is no curse because there is no sin. And Lord, I do pray that your sweet Holy Spirit will touch a heart here this morning so that we can get things right. And we'll praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you